Raising kids, all right? Rearing kids. How many know that is a mixed bag, right? Because there's happy, but they're heavy. You know what I'm saying? There's a burden. There's a load that comes with parenting. How many know they didn't give you a manual when you left the hospital? This is what you need to do. And so what I want to give to you today is a manual of some things you can do. This is certainly not an exhaustive discourse of the entirety of the scripture on parenting, because the scripture has a lot to say about parenting. But I want to give you some things that will help you in a very complicated world. And how many know, I'm old enough now that I remember when we're going to get computers to everybody, and everybody was going to get smartphones, and all these devices that they forecasted were going to come out, and all how easy life was going to be. Does anybody remember that? Until the device doesn't work, right? And things like that happen. And I don't know about you, but my life's not less complicated. Matter of fact, just to illustrate, this is how it was. This is how we used to do gender reveal when, like, my daughter was going to be born. When we knew, because we went ahead and found out what we were going to have. And so we were going to have a girl. And so this was the gender reveal. Hey, we're going to have a girl. Okay, that was it. And, but now, how many know, oh, you don't do that. You got to stage it. You got to spend some money. You got to get a photographer, videographer. You have to get, you know, the family involved. You have to do a balloon release, maybe a hot air balloon, you know, something special. Because your friends did this. Now, you can't just do that. Right? Boy, it's complicated. It's competition. And there's a lot. And I think the main culprit of complication to our lives is this right here. Okay? It's this device right here. And here's the thing is we've got a whole generation being discipled by a screen. The average Gen Z person spends 4 hours on social media a day, comparing themselves to other people. And let me just give you some stats as we start out. Gen Zers are 80% more likely to report anxiety or depression than older generations. The Annie Casey Foundation found. In a 2022 federal survey showed 20% of Gen Z youth and young adults experienced a major depressive episode in the previous year, which is twice the rate of any other age group. Another report noted that 42% of Gen Zers struggle with depression, almost double the rate of Americans over 25, and 61% have been medically diagnosed with anxiety. So Gallup and the Walton Family Foundation report that Gen Z has the poorest mental health of any generation, with only 44% feeling prepared for the future, which is the lowest rate among anyone. Now, those are heavy statistics, aren't they? But I want you to know there's good news, because God's stirring up a revival in this nation And in other places, he is. Where young people are being water baptized on college campuses like we haven't seen in years. God is moving because where sin abounds, love, grace, and God much more abound, right? Can I get a good amen right there? And here's what I want to see. I want to see, especially at Crossroads, that those statistics that I read don't hold true here. That may be true in other places. That may be true in other environments. But here at Crossroads, I hope the next generation, and listen to me, next gen, I hope that you love God, know God, and you live out the purpose for which God put you here on this planet. And listen, I am on a mission. This church is on a mission that you will know that. Yes. That you will know that. That you will know God. That you will love him as a result and live out the purpose for which he put you on this planet. But here, let me talk to parents for a moment. Your priority, parents, your primary goal is this: to instill faith in your family. That's your primary goal. It is not to give them money and more and more and more of it. And I'm not saying that money's not important. It is not to give them a good time. That's not the number one thing to do, is not to make sure our family's fun. Well, I hope it is. But that's not the main reason that you exist as a parent. It is not to give your kids stuff and to give them maybe what you feel is the right stuff. See, the goal is not success in those regards, and then find out you have lost your kids. You have lost your kids to the thief who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So the main primary goal is not even education. It's eternal. It's something that will last beyond even this lifetime, to know and experience God and to know who they are. So your primary goal is instill faith in your family. In other words, the goal is not just to get good kids. You know, we have good kids. Well, I hope you do have good kids, but that's not the goal. The goal is godly kids. Godly kids. Don't settle for just good kids. Don't settle for even real good kids. When you can have something more than that, you can have godly kids who know the living God. You see, we have responsibilities in this. And not just parents, but grandparents as well. And I know there are many grandparents that are very involved in parenting. You thought you'd be done by now, didn't you? But you're still at it. There's still an influence that you need to give, and you need to go ahead and take responsibility for that. As an aunt, as an uncle, as a babysitter, as a person of influence into the next generation, you need to make sure you are understanding your influence. And here's why this is important: because it won't just happen. Okay? Your kids won't just be godly kids because you want them to be. You wish for them to be. Or you even haul them to church on occasion. That's not going to happen just by happenstance. And let me prove it to you. There's a story in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And it talks about after the years of Moses' leadership, okay, in which people just followed the Lord because it was like, this God got us on a mission to the promised land. And then it got turned over, and there's always a scary thing when things turn over, you know, when it gets handed off. But it got handed off to Joshua, and Joshua, who the scripture says, he just stayed right with Moses. Other people would go about their business, but he'd stay right there with him in that tent of meeting. And here's what it says, though, after Joshua. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 10, it says, after that, whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. In other words, that generation passed away. Another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. That's a terrible verse, isn't it? It says that there wasn't a good handoff. See, have you ever watched a relay race where there wasn't a good handoff? You ever seen one of those? It's terrible, you know, because the baton hits the ground, and it's like, yeah, we're done. There's no recovery, you know, from this now. And the same thing with generations. It's so important, folks, to hand the baton off well. And again, the baton is not money or the things money can buy. It is not a fun time. And I'm not knocking all those things. I hope you have all those things. But the main thing is to hand off a relationship with God. Because, see, before this, there was a guy named Joshua who, when he inherited the leadership of the nation, he said, as for me and my house, I don't know what all you are going to do. I don't know who you're going to serve. I don't know what your God is going to be. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. So today, my challenge is, let's be those people. Let's be those people that in America, you know, you may serve the God of money at your house. You may serve the God of pleasure at your house. You may chase after things of this world at your house, but Crossroads, as for me and my house, would you make that decision today? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Because God's got a plan for you and for your kids after you, the next generation. So let me give you some godly ingredients for godly kids. The first one is, be intentional. You need to be intentional. Nothing good just happens, right? Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, they've got this incredible physique, you know, and you're like, whoa, wow, you're just so fit. It's amazing. And they say, yeah, I just kind of eat anything I want to. Just, you know, get as much sleep as I can and whatever. And you know, and you find out, whoa, that's crazy. No. No, that is not how that works. When you talk to them, it's so funny when I was on this mission trip to Europe in which we were exploring different missions places and different things. There was this guy who in Prague, he was just noticeably fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wore fitted clothes that looked nice, right? Some of us, you know, we try to do it, but it doesn't quite work. But him, I mean, it worked. And our guys that were traveling around said, whoa, that guy's like built, isn't he? And all. And finally, one got bold enough to say, hey, what's the secret? You know, how many hours you work out and all? And he says, well, I'll tell you, it's mainly diet. Right? It's like, oh, I didn't want to hear that. You know, I'd like to have, you know, all these abs and everything that you obviously have in your sculptured T-shirt that you're wearing and all. I mean, I would love that. I wanted you to say, you know, I just pump some iron and whatever because I can do that. But I don't want to give up my cupcakes. Come on, somebody. I want to give up my ice cream. Don't want to give up my pizza and all those things. And so you've got to be intentional. But here's the good news. You already know how to be intentional. You're intentional with band practice. You have to be. You're already intentional with show choir because you have to be. You're intentional with sports. You're intentional because your kid won't be on the team if you're not intentional, if you don't show up, if you're not there. So that's the good news. You already know how to do this. You just need to apply it when it comes to godliness, all right? And a Christ-centered family, what's a Christ-centered family looks like? It looks like it focuses on Jesus, okay? That's what it does. It focuses on Jesus. It doesn't focus on religion, whatever, name your religion. No, we're Jesus people. That's what we are. We're followers of Jesus. And our kids need to know Jesus. So let me caution you here. Don't just delegate this to the church. To delegate it to the church, what you're saying is, hey, I want you to do in 1 hour what I'm going to spend the rest of the week undoing. Okay? You can't do that. You have to decide that, no, we're going to partner together, me and the church, and we're going to come together and we're going to be saying the same things every direction so that my kid gets it. And so just like you wouldn't miss a practice or you wouldn't miss a game, don't miss the house of God. Make the house of God a priority in your family. I'm just telling you, that's what my family did. And you know what happened? I picked friends from my church instead of my public school. And the same thing could happen in your home. Your home should be a haven of faith. Let me say it that way. And what does that mean? That means they see it modeled at home. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Here's what God said to this early group of people, this early nation that was going to inherit the promised land. And through Moses, he gives this challenge. Hear, O Israel. And by the way, this is the Shema. This is the thing that Jewish people would utter over and over again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. He's the one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be where? On your wall? No, not just your wall. Not just on a T-shirt. Not just on a sticker on your laptop or somewhere. Not just, you know, wear a cross or whatever. No, more than that, it's to be on your hearts, right? Is everybody getting this? Everybody seeing that? On your hearts. So he's saying every part of your lives. In other words, the whole thing of your life, the whole consummation of your life is revolving around your relationship with Jesus. And then he says, repeat these things again and again in verse 7 to your children. Notice this. This direct to the parents. All right? Parents, look up. Look at this. Repeat these things again to your children. What do you do about the Lord is one? He's the one true God. And you're saying this over and over and over again. You talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? Like all day. You're talking like this. Tie them to your hands. Wear them on your forehead. So it's okay to have T-shirts and different things like that, but that can't just be that. Write on doorposts of your house, so you have banners and you have different things in your house and things on your gates. But he says, more than that, it needs to get beyond the walls to your heart. So that's inside your heart. It's not just because how many had a grandma that had the picture of Jesus, blonde-headed Jesus, kneeling in the garden, right, on the wall. But that's not enough. You need to have the interceding Jesus who's praying for you in your heart, in your life. Your home, again, should be a haven of faith. And he's saying every part of your life. And in Acts 2:46, he talks about how they did this in their houses. In the New Testament, they did it in their homes. So here's my challenge today. And I'll just use this phrase, retake the table. Retake the table. Meals at home with family over the years have shrunk from 80% of meals together as a family has digressed to 38% in American culture. And you can't read the Bible without seeing faith and food put together. I mean, Jesus would sit around the table, have conversations. He'd say, hey, let's do lunch at your house today. He'd talk about how, let's have faith conversations at the table. And so here's what you do, parents. You have rules at the table. And the rules are, put the tablets away, okay? And we're going to face each other. And we're going to talk and discuss things because the table should be a place of connection. It should be a place where we connect with each other. And a Barna study said families that succeed at this have loud tables. They have a lot of conversation. Like you know, maybe you got this rule at your family where you got to hold the knife up. It's my turn. Because everybody's just talking so much, you know, that maybe you got to institute rules like that. And I'm just telling you, Rochelle and I didn't get everything right. And there's things I wish I could redo in parenting and things like that. But I'm telling you, this one we did get right. To sit around the table and talk. And let me just make this as practical as I possibly can. Because some of you are like, well, what will we talk about? Or that's scary, you know. That's scary, you know, to have to do that. So let me just help you. Here's some things you can do at the table to bring God to your table. Here it is. First of all, pray. Don't just everybody eat like pigs at the table, okay? You say, hold up. Let's give thanks to God because God gave dad the job and mom the job, and God gave us the ability to make wealth, and that's what bought this food that's at our table. And so let's return thanks to him and praise him for this. And so you take that opportunity and you're setting the tone right at the beginning of thanksgiving and gratitude. And let me tell you something, you want your kids to get gratitude. So they need it modeled in front of them. And then you share. You say, well, what do we do? Well, share your highs and your lows. You know, what was your high? What was your low of the day? And just go around the table. You know, and be sure to bring in as much laughter as you can get. As a matter of fact, families that succeed in staying together laugh a lot together. And then apply the principles. Deuteronomy, he says, apply these things. When you get up in the morning, who caused the morning to come? Who gave us that beautiful sunshine out there? You know, God gave us another day. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. You apply the principles of God's word. You root everything back to God's word. And you say, this is what the white family, this is what I would say, this is what the white family believes because that's what this says. So we don't care what Twitter says. We don't care what Instagram says. We don't care what TikTok says. We don't care what that says. You know, we're not going to go by that. We're going to go by this. And so you root it in the one book that's never had to be edited in all of its history because it is the inspired word of God, all right? Just the way it is, all right? So let that be a foundation of faith. Here's the second thing. Be an inspiration. In other words, be a parent that models faith. Now, I want to speak to single families, single parents. If you're a single parent and you say, well, you know, it all falls on me. And all. I want to give you a scripture. I just saw this with fresh eyes recently, and I wanted to share it today. Because Paul talks, and I've preached this passage. I've read this passage over and over and over again. But it really ministered to me when I read it this time. Here's what Paul says. In 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says to Timothy, he says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. Notice he doesn't mention the dad. He mentions the moms. And I just want to encourage single mom or dad, whoever you are, listen, and I don't know what Timothy's exact situation was, and if the dad just was absent. I don't know if he died early. I don't know what happened there. But what I do know is you alone with God's help can produce godly kids. Don't give in to fear and the enemy to tell you you are not enough. You are more than enough. You and God make a partnership and an ability to infuse your kids with faith. All right, so get that today. Be the one that steps up and say, you know what? No, my kids or my grandkids, as Lois would say, they will serve the Lord. They will serve the Lord. Kids need to see your love for Jesus. So when it's time to worship, worship. Get into it. Get into worship. Whatever that looks like for you. Okay, and we're going to talk about worship in a few weeks, and I'll just help you with that later. But I'm just going to tell you, whatever it looks like to you now, maybe closing your eyes, maybe raising your hands, maybe just stopping singing the words that we're singing, you just start praising Him and worshiping Him on your own. Or you fill your house with worship songs, and you just say, oh, I just love that song. Oh, man, when that comes, when I play that, oh, man, I just feel the presence of God. Talk about it at home. Show how to pray over sickness and illness in your family. Don't just reach for the Tylenol. Reach for Jesus, okay? And believe God to move in your family. There's an old commercial that was on. I think they can throw that up here. This was an old cigarette commercial. Remember those? Anybody? Okay. And what it was, listen, this is the best picture we could find of this. That's how old this is. So, but what it was is this dad sat a cigarette pack after he pulled one out to smoke it. He set it down next to the kid, and the kid looks at it, and he reaches toward it. And that's how the commercial ends. And it talks about be careful what you're modeling. And I want to say today that faith that is modeled is eventually mirrored. Okay? In other words, only model the things you want mirrored. So whatever you want in your kids and you want to see in them, you be that. So prioritize God, the things of God, God's house, all of that. Because as you do that, if you seek God, they'll learn to seek God. Let me give you the last one, is be involved. Be involved. Your kids need to see you involved, engaged in the family of God. And here's the thing, this is a statistic, that kids who have other adult faith-based, Bible-believing, whatever words, terminology you want to use, Jesus followers, adults in their life, they are more likely to follow Jesus. Now, guess who provides an opportunity for that to happen every Sunday? Right here. Right now, there are adults that aren't you speaking over your kids, praying with your kids, having a relationship with your kids, and your kids are more likely as a result to become Jesus followers because they have adult connections of faith outside of their parents. So listen, parents. Think about who has a voice in your kid's ear. Who is influencing them? It's important what music you play. And I know I sound old school. I sound like what I used to hear in church and all. And here I am. I'm that guy now. All right? You know, railing on movies and music and media and all. I'm just telling you, and I know from experience, this thing can spew hell into my house. It has the ability to spew hell into the house. And so I don't want hell in my house. How about you? I don't want that. And so let me just help the parents again. Let your kids be mad at you over being messed up by the world. I would rather my kid not like me at the moment because I'm not allowing them to watch that, hear that, listen to that, go to that, whatever, that, and all. I would rather that and them be a child of the living God that will live forever in the presence of the Lord and fulfill their destiny that God put in them while they were still in their mother's womb. I would rather that happen than me cave and give in to their every whim and desire and them go to hell. Is that clear enough? Okay. That's a little strong, but okay. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise because the companion of fools will suffer harm. Don't let your kids suffer harm. You wouldn't let them get close to a fire and not do something. Why would you let them listen to that? Why would you let them do that? Why would you allow that to influence their life? If you wouldn't let them get close to the fire, why would you allow that? Why wouldn't you get them into Crossroads Kids on a regular basis so they're choosing their friends from other godly families? Or student ministries on Sunday night. And I know, well, we get tired. You know, we got a lot going on. And, you know, they can't drive yet. And, you know, we got to get in the car and get them there and whatever. Listen, I'd drive from here to Chicago if it meant that my kid would follow Jesus. So we honor, you know, and you just tell your kids, hey, we're different. We're different. But he and she and at their house, I can watch whatever. Okay, we're different. Because guess what? We're called peculiar in here. We're a peculiar people. We're different from the world. That's the reason why mom and dad get along. It's the reason why we don't raise our voices and scream at our house. It's the reason why we have joy when we have hard times. Let me tell you, kids, here's the secret of why we haven't fallen apart in our lives, in our home, in our marriage. There's a secret to it. It's not because I just chose good. It's not because I lucked out. It's because of the sovereign power of the living God working in mom and dad at the same time. And what God has joined together, no man can put asunder. Come on, somebody. Let me wrap this up. You're not just preparing them for college or a career. You're preparing them for a calling that God has for their life. He knew them in their mother's womb. And now to those who would say, but PC, I've already lost my kids. I wish I'd have heard this 25 years ago. Here's what I want to say to you. I want to say, don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Stand in the gap for your kids. They may resist your words, but they can't resist your prayers. And so you pray for them that God help them to be miserable in their sin. God help them to encounter a Holy Ghost-filled friend who will be a genuine friend to them. That their heart would grow soft. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 1, verse 17, 18 gives a great prayer. You could just pray this prayer right out of your Bible. I keep asking that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom. You just put your kid's name in there. Give them a spirit of wisdom, revelation, so they know you better, God. I pray that the eyes of Sally or whoever it is, that their heart may be enlightened in order that Sally might know the hope to which she has been called. The riches of their glorious inheritance in God's holy people. I pray that over her, him, each day. And I pray, God, that you will just draw them to you. And here's what I also want to say to anyone as a parent. You are not alone. You are not alone. This church stands with you, but more than that, God stands with you. And it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. When you don't know what to do, here's what you do. Give your family to God. Let's pray. Father, help us today. God, I know there's a lot of emotion in what we're talking about. And I know that there can be a lot of guilt and there can be a lot of condemnation that comes. But Lord, you don't bring that to our lives. But you do convict us. And you do help us to get better. And so Lord, I pray over every family today that we'd get better. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a dad figure to somebody. Maybe you're not a dad, but you're a dad figure, or you're a mom figure. Maybe there's families here today that are hurting. Maybe there's grandparents that are doing a lot more than they thought they would be, or uncles, aunts, and maybe there's parents here, single parents here, that you're just struggling right now. If there's any home that you just want to lift it up to God today and say, God, would you just help me today? Would you just help me to be the best version of me I can possibly be? Would you just raise a hand all over this room? Come on, let's just get real today and just offer ourselves humbly to God. God, help us today in a culture that sometimes looks like it's lost its mind. We have the responsibility of shaping those around us. And so, God, would you just bring healing to homes? Would you bring strength to those who are weak? Would you bring a confidence that only you can give? And maybe, God, today for some of us, we need realignment. Some of us, we've put a lot of emphasis on things that are not going to last. And so, God, today, just help us to put the emphasis where it's most important, and that's passing along faith. While we're still praying, there could be others here that maybe this message was a little different for you, but through it, somehow, some way, and through the worship today, you just have come into this church realizing that you need God in your life. And maybe you've made mistakes in parenting. Maybe it's mistakes in being a single. Maybe it's mistakes in just being a student or whatever. Here's what I want to say to you. Is that in the midst of your mistakes and your poor choices and bad decisions, God wants to step in today. And God wants to be the difference in your life if you'll allow him to be. So I want to pray for you, and I want to help you to just invite God into your life. And if you're here this morning, you say, oh, Craig, that sounds good. I do know that I need God in my life. Would you just raise a hand all over this room? Just raise it up as an acknowledgement. Yeah, just raise it up all over this room and just say, God, I need you today. I need you, Lord. And let me lead you in a prayer. Nobody prays alone, so come on, church family. Let's pray this together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for all my sin. I believe through his death on the cross, he was my sacrifice so that I can be free. From this point forward, as much as I know how, I surrender my life to you. I need you, God. So come in today. Change my life forever. From this point forward, I am yours. In Jesus' name, Amen. Come on, church family. Let's express praise to God for those who prayed that prayer. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, there are next steps that you can take that we'll put on the screen. Another next step that you can take is right there on your communication card. On that connection card, you can put, I decided to follow Jesus today on that box. Just check that box. Or the one that says, I recommitted my life to Christ today. And when you turn your card in here in a moment, we'll begin praying for you and believing God for you and trusting God to help grow you into all God has for you to be. Also, there is a Next Steps room right across the hall. And in that Next Steps room, there's one of our elders will be there. And they can talk to you about your next steps and about what it looks like to get involved at Crossroads, what it looks like to get baptized, and just help you in your journey. Now, I wonder if I could have just a few more minutes, because what I want to do is I really want to have a moment, okay? I would like for you, if you would like, I want to create a little space here for you to have a moment to bring your family to the altar, okay? Now, they may not even be here today, and they may never come here. You come alone. But if you'd like to represent your family, bring your family, and students, it can be your future family, because I can remember being 15 and whatever in church and thinking, I wonder what the rest of my life's going to look like. And I never imagined this, okay? But God had a plan. And here's all I did. This is all I did. If I did anything right, this is what I did right. I surrendered my life to God. Okay? That's just what I did over and over and over again. And so I wonder if you would surrender your struggling marriage today. I wonder if you would surrender your rebellious children today. I wonder if you would surrender your single family household today. I wonder if you would just lay that family on the altar. And let's just create a moment here before we leave. And I know we got stuff to do and everything, but I just feel like if you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. Can we do that? Let's just stand together. Worship team, go ahead and start singing. And if you would like to lay your family on the altar today, if you just like to bring them to the altar, just start moving out. And just come. We won't take a long time, but just as an act of faith, God, I'm bringing my marriage to you. I'm bringing my family to you. Just begin to step out. That's it.
Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on you. I'm safe with you, I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you.
God, we create a space.
Make it through.
Oh, God.
Maintain.
put our faith in you.
Because he's never let me down.
Build our house.
He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Yes. Yes.
He won't. He won't.
God never fails. It's never too late. You say, but my kids are so far, they can't get far enough. David said, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. It doesn't matter. Down in the depths of the earth, I can drill down and try to hide in the depths of this earth, but you're there. Let me pray. Right now, let's just consecrate. I know there's a lot of stuff at this altar today, but would you just lay all the stuff on the altar? All the poor decisions, all the times that you weren't like Jesus, all of the things that maybe you've slipped up on, haven't made the house of God a priority, haven't made the things of God a priority, haven't made the word of God a priority, all the stuff. And the enemy just would love to review that list over and over and over again. But here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to lay that list on the altar. Okay, you ready to do that? We're going to lay all those past mistakes, all of the slip-ups, all of the times when you said something you shouldn't have said, you did something you shouldn't have done, you all the things. You just lay it. We're going to lay it down today, and we're going to allow God to just forgive and wash and cleanse all those things, and we're going to start fresh today. All right, start fresh today. Matter of fact, just say, I'm going to start fresh today. I'm going to start fresh. My kids are getting a new grandma today, all right? My kids are getting a new granddad. My kids are getting a new dad. They're getting a new mom. They're getting a new uncle or aunt. They're getting a new babysitter. They're getting a new person in their life because today I start over. Let me pray over you, Father. I pray over this vast number of people that have come near to you. Lord, they've stepped out in faith. Now would you step into their situation? All of their circumstances, all of the things, all of, Lord, you know all the stuff. But Lord, there's not a situation that you cannot unravel. There's not a circumstance that you cannot heal. And so today I lift up those who have suffered heartache and sorrow and disappointment, disengagement. I lift up every hurt. I lift up all of the emotions, Lord. We lay them on this altar today. We lay it all down, and we say, God, do what only you can do. Today, all we can do, God, is surrender to you. We can't control it. We can't control our kids. We can't control our marriage. We can't control our environment, but we can control what we do, and we choose surrender. And we surrender all to you today. God, help us to maybe change some of the stuff we've been doing. some of the things we've been allowing. And God, give us the courage to be different than the neighbors. Give us the courage to be different than the culture, because we don't want what the culture has to offer. We want something better. We want something eternal. And so, God, today, would you just empower every parent, every grandparent, God, every student that's here, God, even if the parents are not getting it right, God, help them to get it right. And God, I pray that you will just help them to be like a Joshua generation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, raise up a Joshua generation at Crossroads Church. We pray, God, that you will just use this place to bring healing to families, healing to marriages, healing to relationships, healing to hearts that have been so hurt. God, we pray that you will make this a house of healing. And God, that you'll help us to just, again, go out in the power of the Spirit and be different for your honor and for your glory, Lord. And I believe that over everybody here. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Thank you, Lord.